Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with David Shapiro and Richard Leiter, and we're talking about purpose, and I want to hear from David. You had a thought.
Yes, I was so moved by the passion in your voice when you were talking about the way in which you've unlocked your own sense of purpose. And it really connects to a central theme in who do you want to be when you grow old? And that's how it moves in our lives from the what to the who. Although maybe you weren't asked that question, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's such a trope. It's such a characteristic question that kids are asked. And when I work with young people, they're always talking about what they want to be when they grow up. But there does come this time, and it's connected with a discovery of a sense of purpose, where the question shifts from the what to the who. It's no longer what do you want to be, but who do you want to be? And that's really the sense of that's really emerges out of a sense of purpose.
Yeah, I'm also thinking that you talk about this purpose in the path of purposeful aging. You say it's a spiritual path. So what do you mean by this is actually a spiritual path?
Well, a couple things. I would say that the essayist E.B. White said this: I arise in the morning, torn between a desire to save the world and a desire to savor the world. This makes it hard to plan the day. Well, I think the spiritual part of this is both savoring and saving. It's enjoying life that you've been given for whatever spiritual or religious reason you choose to believe in. But it also is the action. The action, as I said, that precedes clarity, in that if you've been given this life, what's the point of the act? What are you supposed to do? And so I think the action is about I think we're here to serve. When I say spoiler alert to people, we're here to serve, I get a lot of different pushback. Depends on where you're coming from relative to that. But ultimately, at the end of life, or as we get older, people, where they get their greatest fulfillment is in serving. And it doesn't mean coughing up your life to, having to be a volunteer forever or to be... But it means a combination of savoring life and being part of community, being part of giving. And so growing and giving is the default. So, David.
The spiritual part, like you say, Justine, doesn't have to be religious. It's about a sense of connection to something larger than oneself. And that can be secular or sectarian, however it works for you. But it does require this sense of humility about one's own self and an appreciation for, like Richard was saying, the amazing miracle of our own existence and the gratitude for that.
You mentioned miracle. That reminds me of A Course in Miracles. and in that course, recently a teammate reminded me that the two sides of the coin are both in receiving and giving. It's both in. Yeah. And in our culture, if we're just in a gimme, 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 then there is no possibility of receiving. But there is a gift in giving. I know you both can comment on that. I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Well, I would suggest that both David and I have had fortuitous encounters with each other, but with wise people who could answer that question that you asked. Mine in 1968 was Viktor Frankl. I spent a week with Viktor Frankl, and it changed my life forever, because he said the last of the human freedoms is choice. It's the choice to give in many ways, in spite of the circumstances that you're in. And he said, in spite of everything, say yes to life. And there's a lot between that, between stimulus and response, there's a choice. So what David and I both write about, we come at it from different angles, that we do have a choice in matters. And that choice is about how we want our lives to roll out and or not. And so that would be my response.
In terms of those fortuitous encounters, I mean, I had this fortuitous encounter with Richard Leiter some 30 years ago that provided me with a mentor and a model for someone who's living a life purposefully, who's devoted to giving, to sharing. I mean, Richard has always, from the very start, included me as an equal colleague in this project, a co-author, a co-collaborator. And the generosity that he's illustrated and modeled over these some four decades, you know, is an inspiration and is part of his legacy that now is my legacy as well to pass on going forward.
Well, that really reminds me of something that you both adhere to. And you say the key to avoiding or managing late life crisis is don't do it alone. You say isolation is fatal.
Fatal.
So please embellish on that.
This one we could go on for a long time, but I don't think anybody who's listening would disagree that isolation is fatal. So what that means is different for different people in terms of isolation and socialization, or you know what they do. You know, even Dr. Vivek Murthy, who's the current Surgeon General, and he was under Obama, has written a book called Together. And it's based on much research that shows that if you go at life or life crises or aging alone, you don't do as well as if you do it. And so what does that mean? Well, it means different things to different people. And we're trying to figure this out now in our society. You know, with 10 to 12,000 people a day turning 65, a high percentage of those people are going it alone.
Yes.
And they're wanting to figure out, they don't want to just be a joiner and be part of something that, you know, I should be part of this or part of that. And so, you know, David, as you are listening to the voices of young people, even millennials are isolated, aren't they? It's not just older people. What do you say?
And of course, the pandemic made it worse. But I would say that there's a hunger. There's an incredible hunger for that connection among young people and people of all ages. And so our ability to create a space where connections can happen is really key. You know, Richard and I wrote much of, or most of, if not all of, Who Do You Want to Be When You Grow Old during the pandemic. And so we were all isolated during that time, but our ability to work together was a lifeline for both of us. Through, you know, even though it was virtual, was a, you know, it saved us literally.
Yeah,
I get that. And it's been hard. I must admit for myself that when we were sheltering in place, it continues to be difficult for me to get out and socialize. I can feel that I'm hesitant and I'm not as active in that way. And so there are times that I really force myself to get out. And then whenever I do, I am so glad I did.
And don't you remember, I mean, during the pandemic, I had numerous conversations where I said, oh, I'm never going to turn down a party. I'm never going to not go out to dinner if someone invites me. It didn't take long after, you know, lockdown was over that I was eating my words about that. But it's a good reminder, right? It's a good reminder of how that, you know, our social muscle is kind of a muscle that we have to exercise.
Yeah. Well, I just want to add, kind of the underbelly of that is that purpose and purposeful relationships, but purpose is not a luxury for the affluent or the well-educated or a certain age or a certain stage. one of the things that we land on here is that purpose is fundamental. It's fundamental to health. It's fundamental to healing. It's fundamental to happiness and longevity. And so it's something that we now can measure, and that this science is there. Science and faith both agree that purpose is fundamental.
So that leads me to ask a really, I think, important question. And this is the serious problem of growing older in these times when people are on a fixed income and they're having to decide, can I spend money on medicine or food? And I mean, that's real.
Yeah, huge.
And I want to hear anything that you have to say about purpose and aging and doing well and thriving in that environment.
Yeah. I don't have any silver bullets for that, any magic, because we're both privileged that we can write and make a you know, an income that doesn't have to be great. We can survive.
I'm a teacher, so I'm getting by.
But the point is that we believe that everybody should have a sounding board, a kitchen cabinet, people that they go with. And so, oh, well, I don't have anybody. It's amazing how you can ask somebody. I do workshops, I do speeches, and I say, just in the next week, talk with the person next to you, and they become lifelong friends. Some of them, not everybody, but they haven't asked. They haven't. And so part of it is, I mean, there's a lot of complexity to the question that you asked. Not that there aren't answers, but it's not an easy answer. Well, just do this. We're not Pollyannish about that. This right. is not, this can be very, very painful. I mentioned that I'm going through a medical challenge right now. And some people are, it'll be just fine. They went, I don't know if it'll be just fine. Can yeah. we talk? And others say, well, let's talk about that. I want to be part of your healing journey or something like that. And I'm not expecting that I'm not going to make it or anything like that, but I don't know.
Yeah.
And so yeah. I just, you know, as an individual who writes about this, all of a sudden I've got a new revelation about the pain and yet the possibility, the real possibility, because all of a sudden people are showing up who in the past were like, oh, I never thought you really cared. Oh my God, you never asked, or we never talked about this. So
right, right. So again, it's however our circumstance is, to not isolate. Again, is what I'm hearing that's mm-hmm. and that's available to all of us.
But how to not isolate? We say a sounding board.
I like the kitchen cabinet. I like that.
Well, the number one person on your kitchen cabinet is a committed listener.
Yes.
Somebody who practices care versus cure.
Yes. I'm here with Richard Leiter and David Shapiro. We are talking about who do you want to be when you grow old? I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with Richard Leiter and David Shapiro. They're co-authors of Who Do You Want to Be When You Grow Old? The Path of Purposeful Aging. And I just want to tell our listeners, I'm so grateful for this book. I really am. And I've already passed it around to friends. And it's at the end, it's so well organized. It's easy. It's not long. I loved it that, you know, it's not 500 pages long. It's like very readable. It's very conversational, but it also has many, many great questions to ask one another and to ask our sounding board, our deep listeners, to even choose deep listeners for these long conversations. And at the end of the book, you do a wonderful wrap up and you go through each chapter, maybe two pages. With each chapter, you outline some questions. And so I copied all of that right then, and of course gave you guys the recognition that you wrote the book and put this all out. And I put it out to my women's group. My women's group, we've been meeting for 45 years. We're growing, aging purposefully together. And
wonderful.
So I said, hey, here's some focus that we can do on our monthly meetings that we might consider looking at these questions. So I'd love for you to comment on how you came up with that and what is the meaning of that and what it has for you.
Well, I think if you're going to be so bold as to ask others to answer questions, you should ask those or answer those questions yourself. So we tried to answer some of the seminal or key questions, particularly about end of life and about dying. And, you know, what do we really believe? What are we here for? What's the point of the exercise? What do we do? And all of that. And so we both did that. And I think it was less scary for David, but he can answer for himself. For me to go public, because I'm pretty public with, have been for a long time with, you know, being out there on the speaking circuit, et cetera. And I've been honest and not, you know, but to talk about end of life is a whole new, and it really was revealing in terms of, for me personally, it's added a lot of positive dimension to how I live my life now. It's not like, oh, it's all about that. It's like, so what are you doing now to live the life that you say you want to live? So I think it has, for those questions that David and I took on. So how did you feel about it?
Yeah, and also a really powerful way to be more authentic with each other. One of the things that happens in a long friendship is that it deepens. And asking and answering these, what we call ultimate questions about what do you think happens when you die? How would you like to die? What gifts do you want to leave the world before you die? Answering those questions for ourselves with each other allowed us to deepen our connection with each other, with ourselves and with each other. And it's very powerful. And it's a way of reducing that sense of isolation, you know, being seen by another person is really key. And that's what exploring these questions together allowed us to do.
And hopefully that having a conversation ourselves allowed others to have that same conversation with their significant others, like we had with each other. Who could you have this conversation with? And what I've learned in follow-up is that a lot of people who have an abundance of acquaintances have a poverty of people that they can have this conversation with.
Ah, that's so good. That's really to think about, who is it that I would want to have explore the question, what do I think happens when I die? Or how would I like to die? Or that third question, what gifts do I feel I'm going to leave when I die? That's like really powerful to know that there might be somebody that really pops into our mind. Oh, you know, I could explore that with this person.
Yeah. I'm asked often to be a celebrant at different weddings or funerals or things. And my best friend since second grade, his name is Jerry Parr, died. And I was a celebrant at his funeral. And the preponderant majority of people could not have this conversation. I know that. I went through it with him, and yeah. he didn't have that kind of relationship with others, which is so sad. It was just so, and the things that were said at his memorial service, I mean, it was just really tragic.
I want to just give an example besides those three powerful questions, like just in the outline that you give us, like chapter one, the name of that chapter is Old Who Me? That's the name of that chapter. But you have one of the questions you ask us that we could ask that other person, that great listener. Mm-hmm. What in your life, what made something in your life really fine, and how can you manifest those qualities now? I just, that's like, okay, what have I manifested in my life that I really consider fine? And is it still available to me in my life right now? I love that question.
And you know, that goes back to what we were talking about with stories as well, Justine, because when you tell that story, when you mine your memories for that story, you learn something that allows you to give it to the world, to manifest it in the world. And so you probably we've all told the story about some great moment in our life, but thinking about it again in this context of how can it inform what you're doing going forward really changes the thinking about that story.
No, I just piggybacked a little bit, and that would be that when I talk about big P and little P with an audience, there's a palpable sign, no matter how sophisticated they are. Oh, I don't have to be great. And so I think some of those fine moments are little P moments where I was there at the passing of somebody, or I was there at whatever it is. And so I think it gives people permission to feel real without having to feel that they're not authentic or they're not, right. Or they're not great.
You know, one of the things that the book did for me in storytelling, I can't remember where in the book, but it just reminded me that my mother has passed on, and all of her sisters, so that generation is gone in my life. And I realize I never asked my mother to give me all the details of my birth. I don't know the details of my birth. And what that did for me is that I sat down and I wrote everything I could remember about the birth of my son.
You're beautiful.
And I sent it to him. Although he didn't ask me, I just thought, this is something I wanted for myself, and I wanted to document this for him so he knows all the circumstances of his own birth. And that was a beautiful gift. So these are some of the things that can kind of crop up when you're going through this whole process and exercise and ideas and wisdom that you've passed on to us. So I want to thank you for that. So any comments that you have on any of this?
Well, I would just say that for many decades, I have been in the work that we've done together, but starting back in 1973, when dinosaurs were roaming the earth, I started to interview people over the age of 65, because my father died at 67 after a career, and I thought he was going to live a long life, and he didn't. And I said, "What?" And a number of his colleagues died, and said, so I started to interview people and ask them if they could live their life over, what would they do differently? So I've reported on this many, many times and written about this many, many times. But the one thing that keeps coming up over and over again is, I wish I would have been more aware. I wish I would have been more reflective about my own life. But I was too busy. Even back then, before the internet, before cell phones, before all this hubbub today, people were just as busy with different kinds of busyness. And then all of a sudden they're 65 or 70 and looking back, and it's not that they lived a life of regrets, but they wish they would have been more choice makers. And so I think what we're trying to do is make people choice makers with a context of you get to choose. It's not, we're not saying you should do this. We're just saying that it's important to be in charge of your own destiny to the extent you can.
Exactly. Exactly. Any closing remarks from you, David, before we sign off?
I just take this event, this conversation we've had, as a beautiful illustration of what much of what we're doing in the book, being able to have an authentic, heartfelt conversation about purpose, about life, about aging. And so I thank you, Justine, for providing this opportunity to do what is very consistent with our purposes.
Oh, thank you. Thank you both. Thank you so much for this work, for this new iteration of finding our purpose and now purposeful aging. I've been speaking with Richard J. Leiter and David A. Shapiro, co-authors of Who Do You Want to Be When You Grow Old? The Path of Purposeful Aging. And if you want to know more about their work, go to the website, Richard Leiter. He spells his last name L-E-I-D-E-R, richardleiter.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3,803.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over 4 decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org. Or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hello, I'm Marguerite Calloway, director of the Calloway Leadership Institute. Next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about cultivating your innate leadership potential.
The FCAT After School Podcast is back for its third season.
Starting January 10th, you'll hear interviews and profiles from Simon Fraser University's Faculty of Communication, Art, and Technology alumni with lives lived and stories to tell.
Subscribe to the FCAT After School Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll be sending a new episode down your feed every other Wednesday starting January 10th.
Or catch us on 90.1 FM CJSF every Tuesday at 4 p.m. starting January 16th.
You're listening to Simon.